Well, a little transparency this morning. I was at my desk last night. We were in prison all day yesterday, and we were doing a marriage seminar. The inmates and then their wives came in, and we had a great day. So for those of you that are praying for our prison ministry, thank you very much. But it was very exciting and rewarding for Judy and I. But I got home about 4:30, 5 o'clock last night. And, you know, there's one thing about Sunday. It shows up every week. And I'm sitting at my desk. It's 9 o'clock last night. And I have no idea what I'm going to share with you this morning. And I usually take two or three days throughout the week to prepare and to study out the things, make sure I'm teaching you sound doctrine. So I'm studying out, I'm praying, studying, I'm reading. And so now I'm at 9 o'clock, and I'm thinking, in just 13 hours, I've got to get up and say something. So I'm praying like the Dickens, as you can imagine. And I'm pleading with God, say, God, show me what you want. I mean, I've started different things. I've looked at different ideas. And all week long, I've been thinking. I know what God wants me to say. And because what we're going to do, we're going to start a little series for this month. Remember WWJD? What would Jesus do? Right? And that was kind of like a phenomenon in the Christian world. I mean, you could get bracelets, you could get T-shirts, you could get hats. Books were written about it, sermons were given on it, and somebody made a ton of money. But that's beside the point. It was a craze. But you know what? I want us to think in a different way. I don't want to think about what would Jesus do, because that makes us what's the word I want to use? Somebody help me, or we'll be here a long time, huh? Disagree? Well, you can put your own interpretation on it. Because when it comes to the Bible, I got to tell you, it doesn't matter what I think, all right? It matters what the Bible says, what God says. So anyway, so what we're going to do is, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? And we're going to look at three things. This morning, just so you know, I'm not just stalling, because God did give me an idea. This morning, we're going to talk about Jesus becoming flesh. And then we're going to look at Jesus' passion for people next week. And next week, we have our KFC Christmas program, the 15th. So we encourage you to be inviting people to come and plan on being here for that morning. So we're going to look at Jesus' passion for people, Jesus' passion for his Father. And then we're going to look at Jesus' passion for heaven. See, that's all part of the Christmas story, even though we don't take time to look at that this morning, or look at that normally. So this morning, I was praying. I said, God, either you got to give me something to say, or you got to wake Judy up and have her write my sermon for me again. No, she doesn't. She doesn't. Or I said, you got to get me up early in the morning. I mean, get me up early this morning on Sunday to make it happen. Well, I believe what I'm going to share with you this morning is exactly what God wanted me to share with you all the time. I was just a little slow in getting it. So what I'm going to do, I'm not sure how many of you read my daily blogs. Weekly blogs, excuse me, not daily, I couldn't do that. My weekly blogs. But you'll find them every Wednesday on my Facebook page. And if you're not a Facebook person, you can go to our website, and you can find it on our website every Wednesday morning. But for the past 2 weeks, I have been writing about Jesus becoming flesh. And as I was writing these blogs, it was very encouraging to me. So this morning, I'm trusting God that this is where he wants us to go, and that as he encouraged me with these thoughts, he'll encourage you as well. So this morning, I'm going to read them, just as I wrote them. And if you've already read them, Don't think you can't learn something else again, all right? I learn stuff all the time. Judy and I picked up some things at Hobby Lobby the other day, and to my amazement, the place was filled with Christmas items. Christmas items that were already on sale. It seems like we jump from Halloween right to Christmas. And I was thinking, as I was thinking about what to write today, I thought, well, if it's good enough for Bobby, then it's good enough for me. So without further ado, let's talk Christmas. So what do you think? What do you think when you read, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us"? We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. What does it mean to you to have the Word, Jesus, become flesh? From the flesh perspective, Jesus became just like me. He was tempted like me. He got a cold like me. He got hungry like me, although I'm not sure he ever overate like me. And people irritated him sometimes, just like they do me. Although many people seeking to be our president are telling us that they can understand our pain and our struggles, does anyone really think that they can? Yet, because the Word became flesh, Jesus does. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to be sympathetic with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. When Jesus became flesh, he became just like us. In many ways, he was just an ordinary guy, in that if people found Jesus walking in the mall, they wouldn't say, "Look, that must be Jesus." Or if Jesus was to come to our church as a visitor, the whole church would not notice him because of his fancy clothes or the gold cross he had around his neck. When troubles came into his life, Jesus did not disrobe and slip into tights with an S on his shirt. If you were to meet Jesus for the first time, he would not tell you about his doctorate in theology. He wouldn't tell you about all the things he had made. He would not even tell you how many books that he had helped author. Chances are, Jesus would say, "Nice to meet you. You can call me Jesus." Jesus would be the kind of person that would take the time to stop in for a visit. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 34. Even though Jesus had millions of things to do and only 3.5 years to get them done, he would always have time for you. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Luke chapter 18, verse 35 to 42. Jesus would be the kind of person that would come over to your home to watch a Patriots football game. But he'd probably spend half his time playing on the floor with your children. Little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 to 35. Jesus, he would be the kind of guy that would want to spend time with you. He would say, "How about going out for breakfast? Or let's meet, let's get together for lunch." When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus into his home with great excitement and joy. Luke chapter 19, verses 5 to 6. See, Jesus was not some religious fanatic or a kind of a aloof kind of person. If he was your friend, you might find him cooking on the grill for you. I hate that when that happens. Matter of fact, I thought of it this morning. I thought, man, I got to remember to shut off my phone so it doesn't happen. Oh, was it you? Oh, I thought it was Marcos. Oh, yours went off too? Oh, okay. Apologize. It wasn't you this time. Yeah, what would Jesus do? Probably. Yeah, he had a lot of disruptions, didn't he? Yeah. So where were we? Yes. As I was saying, Jesus was not some fanatic or aloof kind of person. If he was your friend, you might find him cooking on the grill for you. And after telling stories or laughing around the Thanksgiving dinner table, you just might catch him taking a nap on your couch. Remember, the Word became flesh. He became one of us. And when you wanted to talk, it didn't matter what time it was or what he was doing. He would talk to you. He would listen to you. And you would think that he had all the time in the world for you. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." John chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. No longer is Jesus in the flesh, but whether he is in the flesh or whether he's in his glorified body, remember all that he was when he walked the earth, he is the same today, plus much more, residing in heaven. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Oh, by the way, this Jesus that came in the flesh is also making intercession for us today. Christmas. It's all about Jesus, God, becoming flesh. What a wonderful gift. Well, we are, now that Thanksgiving is over, we are into the Christmas season, the time when God became flesh. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling in us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When you really think about it, what an amazing thought. God, who needs absolutely nothing, is willing to set his attributes aside to become flesh and bones like us. Us, with our limitations. Us, who get tired. who gets sick, who gets lied about and even mistreated. And not only did Jesus become flesh, he chose to remain in his human body for 33 years. Have you ever wondered why Jesus lived on the earth as long as he did? If it was my plan, I would have made sure that I was away from heaven as short a time as possible. I mean, think about it. Why not come to earth one day, be killed, go back to heaven for 3 days, and then come back to earth? Or better yet, why not just stay high in the sky so people will see you and know that you're alive? And if you're here this morning and you think, well, one day would be way too short. How about one sinless month? Or one sinless year? Why did Jesus have to live for 33 years? I mean, to take on our sins is bad enough. But stay long enough for Judas to betray you? Why endure the pain of having one of your best friends disappoint you when you needed him the most, like Peter did? Why be here so long from heaven that you spent all your money and have to get a coin out of a fish's mouth? Why spend 40 days in the desert without water and without food to be agitated by someone that wanted the worst things to happen to you? Now, if it was me, I would have come to earth when Beaver Cleaver and his parents were alive. I mean, life was good then. And you still had many of the luxuries we have today. You had a car and running water and telephone, TV. And by that time, the world had moved way away from crucifixion. Why would you want to come at a time when the leader of your country wanted to kill you when you were a baby and then rule over you with an iron fist when you were a man? Why would you want to stay so long to see your father die? Why not leave before Lazarus, perhaps your very best friend, died? Why would you want to see your mother screaming with a broken heart as you are being beaten and nailed to a cross? Why would you even spend time in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray when you already know the outcome? Why in the world would God want to become flesh? Why did Jesus become flesh? Because he wants us to trust him. Jesus has been where you are. Those times when people disappoint you, those times when people try to hurt you and defame your character, Jesus knows what it looks like. Jesus knows what it feels like to look into the coffin of a friend or a parent. Jesus knows what's going through your mind when you pray and God doesn't answer your prayer like you want him to. Jesus knows what it's like not to have enough money. He didn't even have a pillow to lay his head on. Jesus knows how painful it is to watch the closest people to you hurt. Jesus also knows what it's like to invest your life into someone and then have them sell your friendship for little to nothing. The Word became flesh so that he could live a life like us. He stayed so that we could, when we come to him with any problem, he can genuinely say, I know exactly how you feel. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. Yet, was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 to 16. Because the Word became flesh, He does not patronize our needs or scoff at them. Matter of fact, His brother James said this. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. James chapter 1 and verse 5. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving, whether it was here with us or whether it was with your family and friends. But now, the time has come to celebrate God becoming flesh. And remember this, it doesn't matter, I don't care where you are, I don't care how difficult it might be. I do care in one sense, but it doesn't matter how hard it is, it doesn't matter where you are in life or how far you walked away from God or what you're struggling with, remember this, Jesus became flesh, so he really does understand.